Amen. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I just say how many words of gratitude I have, and you're all not going to make it easy for me to say goodbye over these next few months. You're just wrecking me with great choir music and testimony from Tasha and more little kids than I could count, and seeing that gives me good courage and lots of joy in my heart. Jesus fasted 40 days. Yes, I said 40 days. And we would not necessarily think that is humanly possible, and yet I do know that there have been men and women of God who have fasted for 40 days. And I don't know in their cases whether I'm sure that they had to take some water and things like that, but maybe there was a variety of fasts. But fasting goes back into the Old Testament. It goes back to the prophets. It goes back to people who are feeling as if they needed to connect with God in a very special way, and they were willing to just take discipline of their body and spend some of that time connecting with God. And Jesus, first thing, this is the Gospel of Matthew. And Matthew is very good in his order of doing things and showing things as far as the life of Jesus. He didn't give us too much about the birth of Jesus, but he's the one that gave us the fact that Jesus, as a little baby, was taken off into Egypt. Gives us also, I believe, a genealogy and all that. And then we skip a whole lot of parts. And then we find Jesus is going to begin his earthly ministry at approximately the age of 30 years old. And so one of the very first things he does, because this is Matthew chapter 4. And in Matthew chapter 4, very early in the gospel, 28 chapters total, he says, the Spirit drove him out into the wilderness, and he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Just in case you thought maybe he didn't eat at night. The Muslim tradition of Ramadan fasting is don't eat during the day, during the daylight, but at night there would be a meal. Not, that's just a comparison. So Jesus, 40 days and 40 nights. I'm finally, after 2.5 months, somewhat perfecting the 24-hour fast on Mondays. That's part of my beginning of my week. And once in a while, I have to shuttle it a little bit, but I also try to stand strong with a couple of other men who are also fasting. And together, we kind of boost each other up. And I found that I don't necessarily need that food. It's not unhealthy for me to do it. I drink tons of water and that kind of thing. But I've gotten to the 24-hour fast, which was still serious business for me. But I can't imagine 40 days and 40 nights. I'm starting to imagine 3, but I'm going to say that probably, for the sake of my wife and any good friends, I will try to do that totally not with other people unless they're in covenant and fasting with me. Okay, because that could get a little dicey, just knowing myself. Jesus was put to the test, 3 tests in the wilderness by Satan. This is a part of God's plan, God's direction. It wasn't like some surprise. It's like, we'll take you out and let's go to battle right now. Start from the very beginning. Jesus surrenders the builder's tools, and he goes to work for the Father in one of the first things. John's gospel talks about first miracle is the turning the water into wine, but here, most of the other ones, he's either calling disciples or whatever, but he goes out. Love that little place that they go to always. You always take you to the Mount of Temptation when you go to Israel. You go to the Mount of Temptation, you get a real perspective of how barren it is, how ugly it is, how stony and dry and dusty it is. And this is something that Jesus encountered. Holy Spirit led him there. So let me state this from the get-go. We often think that Jesus won the battle for us on the cross. But if there's only the cross, I just have a little hesitation here, because I think Jesus won the battle definitely starting even at this point with Satan. He's winning the battle by passing these first tests. in a weakened physical state, but yet in a heightened spiritual state. He is taking on Satan. And Satan has every tool that he could possibly have to take it to the Lord Jesus. And Jesus is tempted and tested three times. Jesus is our help and our aid in many a battle. Every battle we go into. And if we fall, or when we fall, he is our rescue. Amen? But he won a big battle in the wilderness. Our temptations, they're, well, mostly money, sex, and power. If you want to boil it down, most of the time it goes to money, sex, and power. And that's where we're tempted. Maybe there's slight variations on these things, but that's where it gets to. Jesus was tested hard in this way. First temptation. Let me play the devil, because I'm really good at that. Anyways, and you know, I was glad to take on that role. You are hungry. You're 40 days hungry. Turn the stones into bread. If you look around, there's little stones. That's very stony there where he was. And Jesus had the power to do that. He had the power to turn those stones into bread, take them, eat them, and say, I'm not hungry anymore. He was probably starved, but he was also in a deep spiritual mode. And he said no to Satan. What did he say? We don't live by bread alone. I still have to keep proving that to myself, because I want the bread. We also live on spiritual food. What is the spiritual food? The spiritual food is the Word of God. It is Jesus' life. It is the Scriptures. It is God speaking to our hearts when we pray. That's food for our spirit. It was a test of his passion. It was a test of God's provision. But Jesus took no shortcuts. He overcame a major physical test for us. I believe, especially from my own life, defeating Satan is no simple job. Many of us have fallen into physical or spiritual temptation. Jesus is our help. He's our aid in many a battle. And if we fall, when we fall, Jesus is our rescue. Amen? We're going to fall. We're going to fall. That's the state of us. Until he's perfected us, he takes us home, we will fall. Second temptation is this. Devil says, Satan says, you want to get the attention of people so that they will believe? Make a show. Make a show. Your Father, your Heavenly Father, he will save you. They'll love it. They'll eat it up. And you will be famous. Satan even uses, in this one especially, he quotes Scripture himself. He says, have a little Scripture here. Some ways, Satan wants to put some doubts into Jesus' mind. He wants to offer him a shortcut away from the cross. Who wouldn't want to avoid the cross? But he also reminds us, we take up our cross daily and follow him. He took up his. It's the second time Satan says, if you are. If you are. And I can imagine Jesus inside of himself, still in this weakened condition, but a spiritual heightened state. I am. Let's go. Let's go. He wants to be away. Who wouldn't, if you want to be away from being despised and rejected by men? Who wouldn't want to not do that? But Jesus just plain rejects it. He says, do not test the Lord your God. Again, another lesson right in there. It's a reminder for us. Don't put God to the test. Don't put God to the test. What's a kind of test? We say, oh God, if you get me out of this jam, I will never such and such do this. If you get me out of this, if this is one time, I'll always. I could go on. Seems like maybe I know that way too well. Or I will. And we make false promises, tests of God, things that we cannot really fulfill because we don't, until the filling of the Holy Spirit, until that we just don't have all it takes to resist the devil. We will fail. But right there, Jesus does not want to be famous. He wants to be Son of God. And he never fails. I fail, but he never fails. Amen? Jesus never fails. I learned that as a little boy. I don't know if it was a song or whatever it was. Jesus never fails. And people put it on license plate, bumper stickers and all that. But the best place for that to be is right in my heart. Because eventually you got to trade that car in. Bumper sticker goes away. Jesus never fails. Third thing. Bow to Satan. And he will give you the blessings. He'll give you the blessings. He will give you the world on a platter. I suppose Satan had that ability. I mean, he's offering it. Either that or he's being the great deceiver that he is. But it's another shortcut. It's another compromise. But Jesus did not take it. In fact, his rebuke gets even stronger, doesn't it? He says, I'd love this to be a growl. Get behind me. Get away from me, Satan. Get away. We need to remember that ourselves. Get away. Oh, headlines this week. I wish I didn't read these sometimes. But in headlines this week, a pastor, his name is Creflo Dollar. That's a great name for a television evangelist. I'm sorry, but it is. And the pastor is from Atlanta, built a big, big church in the manner of what we call prosperity preaching. That means if you believe this, and God will bless you. Look at how God has blessed me. Fancy suit, all that, those kinds of things. The preacher says this, and you can tell he's from wealth now, and this has gone on. But God will bless you. That's what he says. And I believe that. But I am sure that God will bless me. And I know he's blessing me with more than I've deserved. But material riches and financial prosperity is not what I need from God. It's not what I want from God. It is spiritual growth. Deeper faith. And that doesn't come by winning a lottery ticket or some check in the mail that you didn't know you were going to receive or that kind of thing. It comes from developing the relationship with the Lord Jesus, with God the Father, letting the Holy Spirit permeate our flesh and spirit. Jesus said there would be false prophets. And there are. Jesus didn't die on a cross and or fast for 40 days for $65 million jets to run a preacher around God's earth. I just don't believe it. I don't believe he died for that. Too many starving children. Too many other priorities that God has already shown us. He didn't die for luxury. And note this first. Satan does not use that term if. He's getting to the third temptation. He doesn't use the term if anymore because he's already seen how Jesus has stood up to him. But he's going to try again anyways. And he speaks to Jesus. It's his last temptation for now. He doesn't use if. And the second thing is Jesus reacts seriously. Get away. Get away. Remember, each case, if you dissect this, each case, Jesus uses some scripture. He doesn't give a chapter and verse because he doesn't have to. He's Jesus, okay? And also remember that we have not only the Hebrew Bible. What Jesus had for scripture at that point was what we call the Hebrew Bible, our Old Testament. That's what he had. He was forming the New Testament. He was being part of the New Testament. And so when we have to do battle with Satan, we can take the Old Testament, the great things out of the Old Testament, and we can also then build into the New, the Gospels, the letters of Paul, the struggles that we see in them, the victories that we see in them. We put them together. We have more scripture than Jesus had. Amen? I want to give you one more big question. To always ask when you're facing temptation, and I got to build this into my life. It's only a few days old, okay? And it comes from Andy Stanley, who built a great church in Atlanta, the different kind of church, not the we run around in $65 million jets kind of church, but but we're reaching new people for Jesus Christ kind of church. And yes, they still have to build buildings and things like that, and they're making multi-site. But he has this question that we want to ask ourselves before a decision and in those times when we know we're being tempted. What is the wise thing to do? What is the wise thing to do? You can almost memorize that right now. What is the wise thing to do? A question that you can ask yourself. What's the wise thing to do? Now I'm facing down a piece of chocolate cake. Maybe I have to say, what's the wise thing to do for my waistline? Whatever. But can we ask that question to each other? To ourselves privately more often. What's the wise thing to do? Can you ask that question? The wise thing to do. Amen? All right, a little battle armor here. Just against the world, the weapon is faith. Against the world, the weapon is faith. 1 John 5, verse 4. Here I quote the scripture. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. The more you love Jesus, the more you build that relationship, the less appeal most of the temptations of this world will have. But they won't be ended until the last day you're on earth and you're headed to heaven with our Lord. There'll still be temptations. But it says we have overcome the world. It's our faith. Hallelujah. Against the flesh. I'll give you another word. Against the flesh, the weapon is flight. Flight. Please make sure I don't forget one better scripture than even this one. But 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22 says, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness and faith and charity and peace, and with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. That's interesting. We almost miss what's in there. Flee those youthful lusts and think that with them that call on the Lord. So what's the deal there? You're kind of stepping away from some of these things, but you're joining together with other people. We flee and we get with some others who will stand with you. Never meant for us to be alone. It says in the Bible, don't forsake the meeting together. That's a big group when we're worshiping together. We want to worship together. We need to worship together. We're just not very good at worshiping all alone. We can do some of that, but let's face it, I like to be with other people. I like to make a big noise. Flee. Flight. Says that could be a small group. That could be a prayer partner. Says I almost said the Gospel of James, but in the book of James it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. But sometimes we have to flee from whatever that is. Our losing for lifers, okay? We have a group that meets right at about 12:30 and we're losing pounds, and I confess I didn't do quite so good this week, but our losers, okay? Our 10 big losers. We have this saying that we're kind of building into our lives, and that is, if it gets near you, it's going to get in you. Now, some of you are taking that in right now, saying, yeah, if it gets near me, it's going to get in me. Some of that tempting food, but there's other things that will tempt you. So what do? You flee. You take some flight. You get away from it. You know, bury it in the back of the cupboard. Oh, you'll know it's there, but it's not, you know, I won't hit it quite so often. Against the flesh, the weapon is flight. And the third thing is, against the devil, Satan, the weapon is fight. Fight. So, sometimes we carry our sword to church. We sometimes call it the Bible, right? The Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. And the word about the word is in the scriptures, and that helps us because we need it in print somewhere. We just can't invent it out of our own minds. So carry your sword, not to church, but in your heart. Carry the word of the Lord. And that's why we sometimes ask you to memorize scripture. That's why we ask you to read daily. That's why we say, chew, eat on this. Feed yourself with this, because at some point, Satan's going to come at you and he's going to say, got something for you. Let's try this one out. This is a good day. You're going to have a good time. And I think you really like this. That's the way he speaks to me anyways. Fight. Carry the word of God in your heart. That's why. For God hasn't given us a spirit of fear or timidity. But what? Power. Love. Self-discipline. Probably going to have to memorize some more before I take off. But that's good because it's there and you have it. And you don't have to read it. And maybe it's built into you in a song or whatever. I don't care what way it's built into you as long as you have something, the Word of God, to fight Satan with because you're going to have to have it. If I'm truthful, temptation, friends, is a daily thing. It's a daily experience to one degree or another. Satan is sneaky. His weapons, they're not like hardly anybody else's. Everybody else is playing off of him. He's sneaky. His weapons are doubt. It's discouragement. It's deception. It's diverting us off. It's defeating us. It's delaying us. Say, oh, don't worry. You could do that later. And sometimes I think by the sheer volume of temptation, he has a chance to win because he keeps on at it. And just because I don't want you to think that all of his tools start with D, there's lying, there's luring us away, there's intimidating, there's impersonating. Part of that, wasn't that part of what Tasha said? There's some intimidation there. Oh, you went to that little church thing. And there's some intimidation. What, are you weak? Intimidation. He uses that. Lies all over the place. But we have a better help. His name is Jesus. I'm always glad when you kind of been reading along and you find some scriptures that you kind of forgot you knew. There's a lot of scripture. There's a feast there. That's a buffet that will never end. And it came across this, a couple of them, that I just want to share with you again as we kind of close the book on this sermon today. But 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. Pivotal word. But if anybody does sin, you must have been reading my mail. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for only ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We have an advocate with the Father. He's the one that already run this battle with Satan. Temptation 1, temptation 2, temptation 3. Get out of here! One of the other Gospels said he left him to return for an opportune time. What was that opportune time? Well, it was about in the garden as Jesus prayed. Second scripture was this one. Luke 22, verses 31 and 32. Remember Simon Peter? And he's getting ready. This is the very end of the Gospel of Luke. And Jesus is talking to him. He says, Simon, Simon. Satan has asked to sift all of you like wheat. Satan has asked to sift all of you like wheat. And I always thought that you're just talking to Simon. But that's a plural. Sift all of you. The disciples, the 12, the 120, the disciples that will come. Satan has asked to just sift you out, to grind you down, to shake you up. Satan has asked to do that, Jesus says. But, pivotal word again, I've prayed for you. I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. So we already knew Simon was going to say, I don't know that guy. I don't know him. I'm not a part of that. Okay? Jesus says, Simon, I prayed for you that your faith will not fail. Faith stays through, even when you get temptation. Your faith still staying through. You got a problem, you got to confess it, fix it. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Strengthen your brothers. I love that. He says, Simon, I know you. He told him in advance, didn't he? He said to Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. Peter says, not a chance. No, there's no way in God's earth that I'm going to deny you three times or even once, Lord. And what happens? He says, Simon, Simon, Satan wants all of you. But let me tell you, when it gets to this other point, and when you've figured it out, and when you've turned back, go strengthen your brothers. What's that say? When we fail, we know we blew it. We let it go. And we go strengthen somebody else. I love this. I wish she was here today, but she's not here today. Carrie Bergeron on Facebook on her page, she shared something from somebody else, and I just like this week. It said, "Dear past, thank you for your lessons. Dear future, I'm ready. And dear God, thank you for another chance." Thank you for another chance. Amen. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, today as we close this time together, as we look at your word, I am so thankful that Jesus faced down Satan so that at least I've got a chance. I'm so glad you only allow him to go so far, only allow Satan to go so far in my life and testing and trials and all that. And you also give me Jesus and the Holy Spirit, your fatherly advice, your fatherly call upon my life so that I can face him down in my own life. And sometimes, oh God, we get after each other when we fail, but we want to remember that you have grace for every single one of us, every single day. It's always grace time. I thank you today for the ability to hear your word, to keep on loving you, and most of all, that you keep on loving us. As we journey through Lent, oh God, these next few weeks, as we get closer to the cross, help us to see you in the midst of it all and to know you and deeply and follow you. In the very name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen.